thanks everyone for your time this morning still. So Starflow is work with my collaborators Oliver Michel, Adam Aviv, Eric Keller, and Jonathan Smith. And Starflow is a system designed for measurement in high-speed networks. So specifically, we're talking about networks with link capacities in the tens or hundreds of gigabits per second and switches that forward multiple terabits per second of traffic. So measuring a network is important for a lot of different applications. So a debugger, for example, might measure queue lengths at switches deep in the network core to diagnose latency issues. Load balancing applications might measure per flow link utilization across the entire network to identify flows contending for the same links so that it can identify them and reroute them to improve overall performance. Security applications might measure host timing patterns to detect hosts that are acting like they're infected or to detect intrusions. And in general, there is a lot of research on measurement, but it's proven challenging to meet the demands of both the applications, which need to measure the network in many different ways and run concurrently, and also the demands of the network itself, the throughputs and packet rates and so on. So traditionally, we would measure the network by using either switches that have custom monitoring hardware, like NetFlow switches, or by cloning packet headers to software that implement the measurement there. So switches with custom monitoring hardware lack flexibility. They don't let the applications define which statistics they're measuring. Implementing the measurement in software has more flexibility, but it lacks efficiency, so it's not really practical at large scales. Now, recently, the focus in measurement research has been on balancing between flexibility and efficiency. And the kind of technology that has enabled all of these recent systems are reconfigurable switches, like P4 switches. And so the idea is basically that the users, the applications, express their measurement objectives as these kind of high-level queries. And then the queries get compiled down into the hardware where they run at line rate. And so this is great because it provides flexibility and efficiency, but the problem is with concurrency. Supporting multiple applications that need to monitor the network in different ways. And so the problem is, the root cause is because when you compile a query to an ASIC, the reason why a query runs at line rate is because it's dedicated enough compute and memory resources in that data path to run at line rate. And so that works well if you only have one application that's measuring a couple of different metrics. But if you want to scale up to support multiple concurrent applications, or perhaps to support one application that needs to measure the network in a lot of different dimensions, like a machine learning type application, you quickly run out of space. And even if you don't run out of space, you're using resources that you would otherwise want to use for things like forwarding and access control. A further challenge with the compiled query model is that changing what you measure requires actually recompiling the data paths of all your switches. And that's extremely disruptive, not just to the measurement, but also to the forwarding of the network. So this graph shows the effect of recompiling an ASIC while two hosts are running an IPERF. Forwarding pauses for several seconds because, you know, the code changes, links come up and down, and so on. And so we can't solve these concurrency issues just by kind of scheduling resources cleverly and changing out what we use. It's kind of a deeper problem about the way that we're actually using these reconfigurable ASICs for monitoring. And so the question in Starflow is, can we leverage the efficiency and flexibility benefits of these reconfigurable ASICs, but also have concurrency? And our main insight is that the challenges for concurrency are caused by compiling too much query-specific and mathematically complex logic into the ASIC. And so here's the main idea of Starflow. We decompose measurement into pre-processing and calculation. And so if you think of measurement as a query, the pre-processing is basically the selection and grouping. The calculation is the actual statistic function. So first, we do this decomposition. We decouple pre-processing from calculation. And then we lift the calculation part off of the ASIC up into software. This saves a lot of space because the calculation is, again, application specific, and it takes up a lot of computational resources since the ASIC is not really designed for mathematical computation. Next, we generalize the preprocessing tasks so that we have a common preprocessor that can kind of handle all of the queries that we might want to run. And this saves some more space, but more importantly, it lets us change the measurements dynamically without having to recompile the switch. And so with this architecture, we get concurrency by design. We can add new applications and change our measurements just by adjusting the software. We don't need to add anything new to the switch or change what it's doing while the network is running. But what about efficiency? Because that was the other design goal. Well, it turns out that the way that we've kind of teased apart the work here, most of the stuff that we've lifted up to software is just mathematical operations over vectors, which modern servers are actually extremely efficient at now that we've removed all of the overheads like, you know, mapping a packet to a specific TCP flow and so on. And so the net result is that we may not be quite as efficient as doing everything in the switch, but we can still scale to terabit rate traffic with a limited number of server resources. So this is the overall architecture of Starflow. We have a Starflow cache running in the switch that does pre-processing to improve the efficiency of the applications. A Starflow agent receives a stream of data from the cache and gives it to the applications, and then the applications compute any statistics that they need over that stream. So next, let's look at the design of Starflow in a little bit more detail. And so again, it's based on decomposing measurement to lift application-specific calculation up out of the hardware. And so we need to do two things. Basically, we need to figure out a way to decouple the calculation from the preprocessing stages. And then we need to generalize this preprocessing so that we can design a common module that does the preprocessing for any query we might want to run. So first, to decouple calculation. Typically, the way we implement measurement is as a streaming computation where the grouping and the aggregation are tightly coupled. So we would get a packet into our switch, parse out the features that are interesting, figure out which flow it belongs to, and then immediately in the next operation, adjust the statistics that we're computing. So to split apart the computation from the grouping, we decouple these. And we do this by changing to a non-streaming model of computation. So now, basically, the hash table stores a vector of packet lengths instead of point statistics. And so whenever a flow finishes, or after a period of time, the hash table will send a vector of the packet features up to software, which will then zip over them and compute whatever statistics are necessary. And so this design lets Starflow do the selection and grouping on the switch and the statistics calculation in software. So now that we've lifted the computation off of the ASIC, the next thing we have to do is generalize the preprocessing so that we don't have to change or recompile what's in the hardware at runtime. And so this generalization adds some overhead. But the key is that it doesn't significantly change the workload of the software. So the software is still doing mostly statistical computation, which it can do efficiently. So first, to generalize the selection, the switch will include the packet features required by all of the running applications in the grouped packet vectors. Now, this adds bandwidth overhead, but that overhead is limited because, first of all, there are a limited number of packet header fields. And more importantly, many measurement queries only rely on a small common subset of those fields. So additionally, we can set up preprocessing so that the users can change which sets of fields are included at runtime by installing kind of different rules into the switch. So second, to generalize the grouping, we configure the switch preprocessor to group packets at the fine granularity of TCP or UDP flows. And the idea is that then the application can kind of stitch these fine-grained vectors together to regroup them based on more coarser-grained keys. And the regrouping is much less expensive for the software compared to processing every packet, because it basically only has to do one key value and memory copy operation per GPV. And so that's a closer look at the architecture of StarFlow. The cache in the switch does selection and fine-grained packet grouping. The monitoring application processes those records, optionally regrouping them, interfacing with the cache through a thin agent. So next, let me tell you a couple of details about the implementation. And so we implemented the StarFlow cache and four example applications that measure many different statistics. All the details are in the paper, but I think the most important detail is the actual implementation of the cache itself. And that's interesting and challenging because of the platform that we implemented it on. So we're targeting here multi-terabit programmable switches. And the benefit of this specialized hardware is the efficiency. If your program compiles to a P4 ASIC, for example, it will operate at a guaranteed line rate. For this, for many designs, it's one processing one packet per cycle. So it's very efficient. But the downside is that to operate here, you have to operate in a very restrictive processing model. So basically, the processing model is you write your program as a sequence of match action tables. Each table has matches that defines which packets it applies to based on packet headers or metadata, actions that have simple instructions to modify packet headers, and optional stateful variables that you can do simple operations to, and those stateful variables persist across packets. So it's a question as to whether we can implement something as complex as the StarFlow cache in this simple computational model. And so to implement it as a match action pipeline, we split the GPVs and also the logic across multiple tables. And so each row in these tables stores one grouped packet vector. And so here's how it works at a high level. When a packet comes in, we first extract the features that we need from it and the key, and we take a hash of the key. That hash is used as an index into the cache, basically, the rows of the tables. So in the first table, the keys are stored of the GPVs. And so the first thing it does is that table will compare the packet's key with the currently stored key to determine whether or not this packet's flow is currently being tracked. If it's not being tracked, that table will set metadata flag that causes all the subsequent tables to basically replace the data in that slot with data for the new packet and evict the old record out to software. If the flow is currently tracked in the cache, which again the first table will figure out, it just sets a flag that causes all the subsequent tables to simply append that packet's features to the end of the buffer in that slot. Finally, to manage overflows of these fixed width feature buffers, the second table in the pipeline tracks the number of entries currently in each slot's buffer. So that handles overflows. When there's a rollover, again, we just send the current contents up into software as a GPV and start filling it over again. So that's a quick look, a high-level look at the P4 implementation of the StarFlow cache, which runs at multi-terabit rates on real commodity switch hardware. And there are a lot of cool design details in the paper. For example, we have a dynamic memory pool as a match action pipeline after this that kind of dynamically allocates additional slots to highly active flows. So check that out if you're interested in the low-level details. But what I want to talk about quickly here at the end are some of the highlights from our evaluation. And so getting back to the high-level points of Starflow, it's about concurrency and efficiency. And so I want to share kind of one high-level point for that demonstrates each of those things. So first, for concurrency, we compared the hardware resources required to implement individual compiled queries from other recent work to the hardware resources required to implement the Starflow cache configured to service any of these queries. And so the important point is that the Starflow cache requires only as many resources as roughly one of the more complex queries, but the software can answer any of them by processing the GPVs. Next, to evaluate efficiency, we benchmarked the single node GPV processing throughput for several complex applications that we implemented. And so these are more complex than just querying the network for one statistic. They're actually doing things as they're processing the GPVs. And so on this graph, the y-axis is throughput of the applications in millions of GPVs per second, so higher is better. And the red line shows the approximate throughput required to scale to around 1 terabit per second of traffic based on profiles from 10 gigabit internet links. And so at a high level, our prototype demonstrated that processing GPVs at terabit rates using a single server is practical. And it depends on the complexity of the application. And there were bottlenecks in our prototype that we didn't address, so there's definitely room for improvement here. But this kind of demonstrates that it's possible. So that's a quick introduction to Starflow. There's a lot more detail in the paper. Implementation details, evaluation, background, and so on. There's also, we have open sourced the Starflow cache, and it runs on the Barefoot Tofino, so check that out if you're interested in code details. But, you know, in conclusion, Starflow shows that for network monitoring and measurement, we can leverage reconfigurable switch hardware to operate efficiently at multi-terabit rates without having to sacrifice concurrency. And so the key to doing this is to kind of carefully partition the workload between hardware and software. And so by doing this, we meet these goals, which makes Starflow a really practical system for monitoring. But we also hope that the kind of higher level idea of partitioning the work between hardware and software, specifically network switch hardware, to meet diverse performance goals, can motivate other applications in other areas of networking. Thanks.
Hello, if you have questions. Thank you.
Hi. So I'm Nicolas Luskornek from Technicolor. And I have a question regarding what are the order of magnitude, the order of size for the hash table in the P4 in the switch, and how often trashing happens, and how often it can happen just after one packet?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the switch memories range from are around up to 32 megabytes of SRAM. So I think in the evaluation we used around 1 megabyte of SRAM, which corresponded to something like, I believe, 16,000 entries. But it can go much higher than that, and some of that is how much memory you want to allocate for the dynamic extension of the cache slots and stuff like that. So it's limited, and evictions do happen frequently. And part of the challenge is that the eviction logic on current switches is relatively simple. We're basically evicting on collision, right? Yeah. So one thing that I didn't describe in here is on the hardware, we end up evicting, I think it was around like once every maybe 5 packets on average. So that's about how frequently it happened. We have a software layer above that that will kind of also regroup those into larger things so that the application doesn't see that evict rate.
And is there saturation at this level or not that much after just the eviction, because it goes to the main CPU, and then it's limited in the bandwidth is very limited.
Saturation in terms of bandwidth or compute capacity?
In terms of bandwidth between the, you know, the data plane and the CPU.
Okay. Yeah.
Because
yes.
It goes to the control plane, I believe.
Right. Yeah. Basically. So yeah. So the bandwidth overhead was actually not that bad because we only need to get a few bytes out of each packet, kind of, and we're only transmitting the key once per GPV, and the key ended up taking a lot of the space. So I don't remember the exact numbers, but we found that the bandwidth wasn't really a limiting overhead. Thanks.